listen to Scott Kern wink.
That's Scott K.
Just killing it.
Tickling the guitar strings. Or, well, not like jamming on the guitar strings.
Yeah, I don't know how many new listeners we have, and can I get a little bit more on the mic? Because I'm weak.
I hear you.
I can barely hear myself.
Oh, I hear you now.
Now I can hear myself.
Cool. Can you hear me now?
I don't know how you new listener.
I can hear you now. Good.
That intro was written by Scott Kern from Stagehand Tools. We mentioned that every once in a while.
Yeah, and ghost hunting season is coming upon us rather quickly. I mean, it's very, very spring-like.
Oh, yeah, the weather's great.
And more and more even opportunities are coming our way at MichiganGhostbusters.org. we've got more and more opportunities coming our way for ghost hunt investigations and things like that. And if you are a ghost hunter or interested in it, that kind of thing, one of the hardest things to do is to keep track of all your junk when you're out on a ghost hunt. And of course, if you go to stagehandtools.com, he sells the gear that's Scott K's website.
Yeah.
He sells the gear that the people use, you know, backstage to set up props and to do all the things. They have to work in the dark.
Yeah.
Curtains are closed, you know, the house lights are, everything's off, mm-hmm. The actors are running around doing their acting stuff, you know, and the stage hands are behind the scenes getting everything ready, putting everything where it needs to be, doing all the work. Well, they have to work in the dark, so they've already solved the problem of organizing all their gear.
Yeah.
They've done this. So if you get some of the cool, like, those belts and packs and stuff like that from stagehandtools.com.
It's a great cross-functional tool because you can use it for this particular hobby also.
Yeah, so you can become a stagehand and a ghost hunter.
Yeah, I mean...
And use the same set of tools.
There
the same
you go.
Set of
you can get rich at the same time.
Yeah, and be rich and famous.
Working in the glorious industry of the playbill. Or plays or...
Do you know, I think it's probably harder to become rich doing that than it is to become rich doing ghostly talk, and we've not, right now we are like
I didn't even know that was an option.
Yeah.
I thought we were just doing this to do it.
Well, we just do it. No, yeah. there's no money. No money.
But yeah, the weather is starting to break finally here in sunny, beautiful Michigan, Metro Detroit.
And well, that's how it is this 5 minutes.
Well, yeah, and we'll probably look out the window in about, at the end of the show and it'll be a snowstorm out there, but as of right now, it's nice out.
Yeah.
So that makes the avid ghost hunter start thinking about, time to get back out again. I have to come out of the house now, finally. I've been cooped up. I've been hibernating in this whole time.
My hibernation time is over.
So, yeah, there's lots of stuff coming up, MichiganGhostbusters.org. If you are interested, get on there. Join. Oh. All that fun stuff.
Let's tell you who we are. We are Ghostly Talk. Of course, we're live on Pioneer Radio Networks. That's pioneer.rolo.net. We're live on Sunday nights from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Mm-hmm. Our own website is, of course, www.ghostlytalk.com.
Stop right there.
.com.
Do it like everybody else does it, all right? Just sell out for once, okay?
www.ghostlytalk.com.
I've been fighting about that for like 2 years now.
So, Ghostly Talk. I of course, am Doug.
I'm Scott L. And we have a guest.
Yes, we have a guest. Chime in, Diane. Say, and
Diane
I'm
Bennett. Hi.
Excellent. Hi, Diane. And, of course, Will's in studio behind the scenes. He's got a mic.
Click.
Yeah, I'm here.
yeah, he's here. And so we're the whole crew. Karma, of course, is...
taking the night off.
Taking the night off.
Yeah.
Just taking the night off. I don't blame her.
Yeah, we got...
Not her. One bit.
Yeah. We all need a break. Every once in a while, one of us has to duck out of the fold here just to get a night off and kind of get our bearings back, and then we come back strong.
Yeah. She's got a lot of supporters. A lot of supporters.
Yeah.
And she is, like, so wanting to get back behind the mic, and she'll be here, you know, when she can.
Yeah,
so.
Totally. We're going to try something new today. We're going to try something totally new today. We've done this lately in other shows, but I got the idea to try to do something like this. We've taken pictures before, kind of, and posted them up on the website and said, hey, take a look at this. What do you think? And we'll get opinions from people and whatnot. But we found a picture from Diane, actually, who's here live with us today.
Yeah, my picture.
Her picture.
Diane's
her picture.
Picture.
That I found very interesting. And she showed this to me. And I'm like, you know what? This is a really neat picture. She was nice enough to let me borrow it and scan it and blow it up and make it nice and big for people to see. So if you go on the Ghostly Talk website right now and you go to the picture section, it's on the left there, that navigation border thing. You'll see the first thing there is it's a big picture. And it has the date, today's date on it, actually. Click on that, and you can double-click on it a couple times, and it'll get really big. It'll get really big, so you can look at it.
So you can look at the high-res version.
We're going to analyze. Yeah. We're going to try to analyze this.
We're going to talk about this picture this show.
We're going to talk about this picture, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to just see. I want to get opinions on this. The phone line is open, 888-520-1969. If you want to call in, if you want to chime in the chat room, feel free. Either way, whatever you want to do. But we're going to discuss this and see if we can get some new ideas. And this is going to go both ways, too. This isn't going to be, oh, my God, it's conclusive evidence. Let's just have a beer, let's have a beer and call it a day. We've proved that there is the afterlife. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be someone out there who has a different opinion on this. So don't feel that you can't call in either. Definitely call in. We want to hear these different sides of it and try to get some new ideas about this. Now, this is your time to be put on the spot. Are you ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
Now, with any photo, we've discussed this, with any photo or any piece of EVP we found out, there's a story behind it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the basis right here.
I'll tell you what, let's get to that in a moment, though. Okay, because I want to give people time to go to www.ghostlytalk.com and click on the pictures section and look at the photo.
Okay.
Okay, so let's give some people a little bit of time. www.ghostlytalk.com, pictures in the menu on the left.
Yeah.
And the photo's there. You can click on it several times, like Scott L.
Yeah,
said.
Bring it up.
I want to just mention that there's a lot of people in the chat room.
Okay.
And you can get to the chat room off our website, or you can go to pioneer.rollo.net and click on the text chat link if you've got Java installed in your browser. Or of course you can use a client like MIRC or something like that, and that gets you in the chat room with all kinds of cool folks. And I'm going to pull my mic out for one sec.
He's going to Barry Manilow, Doug.
Hey, okay. There's of course the whole gang of Ghostly Talk is in here, plus Mary of BUFO is in there. Gina's away from her keyboard. Bonnie of Michigan Ghostbusters is in there.
She was at the show last night.
Yeah, yeah.
All I saw, around my hair, was this camera pointing at me the whole time. I'm like, geez, oh, Pete.
So, oh, man.
Send me the pictures, Bonnie. I want to see how goofy I looked last night.
And then, of course, Budankadonk.
Ah.
Budankadonk is in there.
It was nice to meet him at the party, by the way.
He was at the
Very
party.
Very nice to meet you at the party.
Very nice to meet you. Evolve is back from a long sojourn. Okay. I haven't seen E in a long time, I think, unless it's a different person. Horizon is in the room. Lakota, miss you, buddy. Scott Kern, of course. Scott K of StageHandTools.com. Vance, remember Vance from last week?
Oh, Vance is there. Hey.
We've gotten emails and everything about that show.
Hey,
that
Vance, I've been listening
show.
To No Exit all week long by Fate's Warning. Just had to throw that in.
And then, of course, 235 is in the room, and there'll be more as the show goes on.
Oh,
join into the chat room. I want to go through my emails real quick while people go to www.ghostlytalk.com and click on the pictures section and look at that photo. I want to give some shout-outs.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I heard from Jamie F. and five or so others in Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Is M-O Missouri?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Because M-S is Mississippi, M-I is Michigan.
What about Montana?
M-T.
Is that a state?
Montana? Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
I was
anyway,
strong
so,
on geography.
Well, Jamie and five other people listen, like, in their office.
Yeah.
They listen to the archives of Ghostly Talk.
Oh, cool.
That totally rocks. I mean, that's so, you know, we've heard of Ghostly Talk party kind of things before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then just this came out of nowhere, and I thought, oh, that's so cool. So, hi, Jamie F. Mark H. was very glad we had Vance on the show.
Ah, so were we.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it. He says, it was, quote, probably the best introduction to remote viewing I've heard, and I've heard a lot, end quote. That's what he said.
Cool.
And I'm like, whoa, you know, so thanks to Mark H. and props to Vance West of TrinityScience.com. Dan in Michigan might go ghost hunting with us.
Ah,
so I want to say hey to Dan in Michigan. I want to say hi to Stephen Y., who wants us to get us a webcam, or wants us to get a webcam.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why?
I know. That's
why, Stephen, why?
All kinds of people have said that. Why don't you get a webcam? And I'm like, oh, my God.
Because if you saw us, you wouldn't list it anymore.
And, of course, Andy Talos. Do you remember Talos, right? in Canada.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he sent an email that I didn't respond yet. I didn't respond to any of these, so.
I haven't responded to any of them either. I thought you, I left out. I'm like, okay, Doug will take care of it.
Yeah, so you guys, don't anybody feel like left out because
okay.
I didn't respond to any of them.
We're doing it we're doing it now, as it's easier to talk it out than type it out.
Sure. So, hi, Andy. How you doing? And, Angel Eyes, I'm sure is what it is. It's written N-G-E-L-E-Y-E-S.
She sounds hot.
That's right, Angel Eyes. is 40 minutes outside of Chicago.
Oh.
Yeah, wanted to know if you thought you could bring ghosts home with you and stuff like that when you go on an investigation or if they follow you.
We can talk about that.
And, we'll talk about that on a future
possible.
Show.
Yeah, exactly.
Diana's
correct.
They're supposed to be around all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll talk about that. Don W., are you ready for this? Now, I mentioned him a little bit last show, but Don W. Is up north in the Upper Peninsula.
Okay.
And he's got a website, and I promised to put it on the web on our website, but I didn't, so I'm going to give it out to everybody. It's a GeoCities website, so www.geocities.com/quickdjwl/GHSNM.
We'll get it up there tonight.
Ghost Hunter Society of Northern Michigan.
I'll put it
sure
up there tonight. I'll have
for.
It up there tonight when we put the archive up.
Sounds cool. So he's got a ghost hunter group up in the Upper Peninsula. So yeah. Next time we go up to like Heike's Tomb or something like that,
we'll hook up.
We might be able if it's not like ridiculously far, like the what's that light? The Paulding light. The Paulding light was going to be an additional like 7 hours of driving.
No.
And anyway, Scott M. of Phoenix Paranormal Investigations. I bet you're thinking Phoenix, Arizona, but it's not. This is Manchester, UK.
Ah. Good.
Yeah. So hi, Scott M. of Phoenix Paranormal Investigations. And Cassandra Frost emailed us. She has a new blog site.
You know what?
That we've got to relink in.
I haven't checked my email, obviously, in a while.
Well, she emailed us like March 3rd or something, and I didn't.
Like I said, I haven't checked my email in a while.
Yeah, so Cassandra Frost is a past guest on Ghostly Talk, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she's got a new blog site that we'll
yeah,
try to link
all
up.
All this stuff up, yeah.
Yeah, so I have to say hi to Cassandra because
yeah.
I haven't talked to her
it's
in
a
long time.
It's
I know. She emailed us and says, "Oh, I've got a new blog site. Read it because there's some news on there." And of course I didn't, but you know, because I just got it today. But
from a month ago, yeah.
From about 3 weeks ago. I know. And but that's been my life lately. So I want to say hi to everybody.
Thanks for the email.
Thanks for all the emails. There's of course a lot more. There's but these are the good ones. So
yeah.
there were about 5,000 of the other kind, you know.
Yeah, so
but that's just how it goes.
We reserve our right to censor. So there you go. We only talk about the good stuff.
So I just wanted to give shout outs to everybody who's been emailing us. We do read them eventually. We'll even probably get back with you eventually on them.
Yeah.
But definitely some good stuff in the email. Hi to everybody and everyone in the chat room. Now, I think that gave everybody enough time.
You can breathe now. Are you okay?
I think it gave everybody enough time to go to ghostlytalk.com, right?
Yeah.
And click on the pictures section and take a look at that photo.
Yeah.
That very, very
top
interesting photo. Oh,
top
it's at the very
photo.
Top. It's right there. It's
right there.
Labeled with the date. And it's extremely eerie. I'm sure like they'll be like, ooh, that's cool. So we'll find out what people have to say. First, like you said, take over and let's get the story. Background
info. There's a story behind every picture. Any weird, crazy picture we've ever seen, there's always the story where somebody's like, you know, well, okay, I was standing here and nothing was going on. And when I shot this, this is what I got. And it wasn't there when I didn't see it with my eyes, but the camera picked it up. Or, you know, that's a real high-level story. I know you have a bit of a story behind this picture, though, Diane.
Yes, I do. The picture was actually taken in my basement at my house.
Mm-hmm.
So I have my own ghost in the basement, which is kind of scary. I've had it a little over a year, and everybody kind of got a laugh out of it. And then I showed Scott, and we discussed the show and everything, and so that's when we talked about it.
Yeah.
Actually, it was about 5 months after my late husband had passed away, and a friend of mine had torn apart the basement because he was going to remodel. And he took a Polaroid picture of the basement after he tore it apart.
Mm-hmm.
And the picture was taken, like, towards the bar section where that bar had been.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, if you look at the ghost picture, it looks like he's sitting on the bar. And also, his ashes had been stored under the bar, specifically where he's sitting also. Also, my friend commented on the basement was cold when he was tearing it apart. He came upstairs and showed me and said, I got Norm's ghost picture. And I looked at it and I went, wow, that is really eerie.
Shooting Polaroid, too.
It was a Polaroid, yeah.
You know,
well, it's interesting because, you know, most of the people say, oh, you need to have a negative and that kind of thing, which involves 35 millimeter.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think I've actually heard that much about Polaroid. I mean,
it's a real expensive way to ghost hunt.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Polaroids are
over a dollar a picture.
Yeah, extremely expensive. But I haven't heard any comments, positive or negative, about Polaroids, probably because they're not used that much.
No.
Although, I have to say, I've seen, remember those photos when we were out west with the folks from West Michigan Ghost Hunter Society, and a lady brought a portfolio of photos, and some of them were Polaroids. And I didn't say, oh, Polaroids are bad or Polaroids are good, because I didn't have an opinion either way. But what's interesting about Polaroids is they develop themselves.
Yeah.
So there's no actual human being involved in the process of developing a Polaroid.
Yeah.
So I kind of actually like that as far as proof goes.
Yes.
Plus, I wasn't looking for a ghost, so.
Right.
It kind of appeared.
Yeah, exactly.
And it looks, another interesting thing, it looks like his arm is raised as if, get out of here, go away. And also, interesting fact, if you look at the far left picture of the picture, that's actually where he did die. There was a bed there. And if you look closely, it looked to me like maybe it's fire or maybe hands coming up there. And then in the middle of the picture, it looks to me what's possibly his dog, Andy. Andy was put to sleep 2 days after his death. She was old and had cancer, so
Ooh.
I had put her down, and it was a beloved dog. I mean, he really adored Andy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look, it looks like her head going under the body and then the tail up. And the picture itself, to me, is very eerie because it's so specified. It's so specific.
Yeah, there's a lot of detail. I mean, if you look into it a little bit, you can. Like, me and you both looked at it
mm-hmm.
for a while that one day, and we kind of just pointed things out back and forth together on that. And towards the top there also, I mean, you see what we call in the field, it looks like it, and guys, help me out on this too, what looks to be maybe an orb-shaped thing in the top. Now, we can, okay, that's his head. I don't know, but there's like an orb-shaped thing. Now, I've seen pictures that had a combination of orb-like things and like misty-type figures also, but not anything as defined as this. That's what's really kind of grabbing me. But here, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Also, at the time of his death, we were separated. I'd filed for divorce, and he was.
Oh, that's
very
why you
different.
Kept him in the basement. Okay.
Part of the reason.
You know, that is one of the things I wondered. I'm like, okay, he was on the bed in the basement. Hmm. Okay.
Well,
you know.
I wasn't living there at the time.
Oh, okay.
Not that he didn't go there sometime, but anyway.
Right.
I had filed for divorce, and he was extremely bitter. And he was, what I'd say, emotionally not a stable man. He was extremely bitter because he didn't want to leave his basement.
That's a lot like me. I'm down in my basement all the time, but I'm not bitter. So I'm just, yeah.
Anyway, I had left June 6th, I believe it was. His death was August 18th. And interestingly, it was 3 days after he'd left me a very nasty, threatening voicemail message. And 4 days before court for the house.
Hmm.
So I didn't have to go to court.
All right, okay. That's definitely a plus.
Yes.
But like you said, there's a lot of things. Well, first of all, you know, you brought that up. You guys are going through a divorce.
Right.
He's bitter. I'm sure you're not feeling too good about the situation either.
Right.
So there's a lot of emotion there. He doesn't want to come out of the basement.
Correct.
You say he might be a bit emotionally unstable also.
Yep.
And we're talking about couple that with the stress of a divorce going on also. So now, you know, we can take this little bit right here and run with it for a second. We've discussed this on the show previously where it seems that you may get activity in places where there was a high amount of stress activity or emotional activity, so to say, and that's just about as simple as it gets. I mean, so they're, for example... Well, if, this is a bit extreme, for example, but where a murder may be, for example. Mm-hmm. I mean, That's pretty high stress. I mean, let's make it murder.
His death was natural cause.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm not saying. I'm just saying, coupled with this emotion that's going on, all the stuff that's going on in this person's life and your life, too, and then he passes away. Who knows? That may be part of this whole mystery behind this picture. Doug?
Well, yeah, because it seems that a lot of ghosts, you know, especially the recurring kinds of hauntings,
yeah,
happen around, you know, like the staircase. That's the classic example.
Yeah, well, staircases, they try to explain that by saying staircases, you expel more energy going up and down a staircase,
right,
than you normally do walking straight. So you can, after a while, you just kind of leave that energy there. After years of walking,
right,
up and down a staircase, that's supposed to explain the brown lady.
And yeah, and then therefore you get the residual hauntings and things like that.
Yeah.
But this obviously isn't residual. Unless, has there anything happened in the house since, or?
Not specifically. Nothing to this degree. I did have a feeling around the house, and it was my feeling that he left approximately a month after the picture. But there was another event that happened maybe 2 weeks after the picture, but it wasn't in the house.
Oh, okay.
I was on my way to work, and I remember a minister friend of mine had said, if you want, like, a sign or something, you can more or less just ask for it, and you'll get an answer. Mm-hmm. So I remember asking, kind of in a meditative state, for a sign. I said, Norman, I would like a sign if you're really here or not. And I just got a quick answer back in my mind that if he was, I would get a sign and it would be definite. It would be something I wouldn't miss.
Uh-huh.
And I was driving the Oldsmobile, which was his car, which he also loved, which I inherited. And that evening after work, I went to the mall, to the bookstore. And I was just driving along, minding my own business along the drive, and a big truck came out of nowhere now, and it broadsided me, like pow.
That's pretty definite. Yeah,
very definite. And that, but now it wasn't enough to hurt me. It was enough to mess up the car somewhat. But it was a definite something you don't miss.
Right.
And that's what I'd been told earlier. I'd get a sign that you don't miss. And I just went, oh, I knew right away. That's what it was. It was like, oh, shoot.
Oh, that was his car, too.
That was his car.
And he loved that car.
He loved that car.
And he was bitter.
He was bitter.
And you were in it.
And he was angry.
You were in it. You were driving it.
That's correct.
Yeah, so
unfinished business. And he took care of business, didn't he?
Yeah.
It sure sounds that way.
Yeah, I mean,
that was approximately 2 weeks after the picture.
It sounds like he had a couple of things to do. Because one of the things that why they would stick around, why they would be here instead of going on, you know, because you're supposed to go on to the hereafter, right? And but those that don't, they've got unfinished business. That's the thing that everybody talks about. Sylvia Brown and they all say there's unfinished business, and that's one of the major reasons why things like this happen. And so he had some unfinished business. He had for you not only an image message, but then the sign that you asked for. Be careful what you ask for. But yeah,
I wanted to know.
Yeah, you know. So it sounds like he took care of some unfinished business, and that's that. So no other. Have you gone through other photo albums and seen other bizarre things, or is it just
no? Just this one picture.
So just this one photo.
There wasn't really a lot of photos taken after. There was some other photos of the basement, but nothing else in the other photos. No.
Right.
Nothing like that.
Another thing that comes to mind, of course, is that during renovations of places, that tends to either stir up activity or make activity go away temporarily. I've heard that before.
People have talked about that, and we discussed that when we were up. Which house was that? That lady's house with the cats. I'm drawing a complete blank right now.
The lady with the
cats. She had underwear hanging in the living room, remember?
Oh, Millie's house.
Yeah.
Was that Millie's house? Yeah, I
that
didn't
was the
go
creepiest
there,
thing in the house right there, by the way, too. I'm going to hell for that one. That was we discussed that when Kelly was up there, when we were up in the attic talking mm-hmm. about that, and that was something I had a question for this particular person that Kelly was talking to. And I was like, okay, do you encompass this whole area? You know, this whole piece of land, or is this, you know, where's your boundaries at? What's going on? Because she said the house was renovated
mm-hmm.
before. I think, didn't they say it burned down?
Like, now it's burned.
A couple. It happened fairly quick, like soon after we were gone. Like a couple of months, the mm-hmm. house burned down. And if you saw this house, it kind of looked like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, minus the tower.
Because
it was like kind of leaning. If you when you went up to the house, it was like leaning. I'm like,
maybe it didn't burn down. Maybe it just fell down.
Just fell. Yeah. I don't know. But that was this whole area of space and time you talk about. Also, like you mentioned, renovations and things like that. It could stir up activity, or sometimes it may make it cease. Really, that'd be something very difficult to try to explain.
I can see that definitely stirring him up, because he definitely liked the basement as it was, particularly that bar.
Yeah.
He specifically liked that. He used to sit there and write a lot of letters and do a lot of work at it. And the other thing is his ashes were stored under the bar, approximately right there where he's sitting, too.
Mm. Yeah, you did stress the point that was his area.
That's correct.
That was his domain.
That's where
he felt he belonged.
Yep.
And that's a hooker right there. Because it's like, okay, bad word to choose. I'm sorry.
Oh, the husband in the basement.
That's getting cut out. I'm telling you right now.
But no,
that's a real hook right there.
It makes sense. Because another theory, this is like every single thing goes along the lines of what I've heard. It's because another theory is that they will tend to in the places that were familiar to them,
mm-hmm.
or the places that they liked, or the places.
Think about that. Let's think about that. Your porch light goes out, so to say. Oh, you want to take a break?
Let's think about that after the break.
I had a great. That was cool too.
Well, remember,
porch
right
light
down.
Blew out, man. He's gone.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break.
Let's take a quick break, and then we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
more about the photo, and we'll take your calls 1-888-520-1969 from U.S. or Canada.
All right.
So
we'll be right back.
Have you heard of the internet's newest Ghost Talk Radio Show? Visit us on the web at www.floridaghosthunters.com. Our show airs live on Sunday evenings between 9 and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join us if you dare.
Ghost Talk. Sticking our nose in the world's business.
What happened to your journalistic responsibility?
What do you mean journalistic responsibility? I talk about aliens for crying out loud.
Yeah? And what do you think aliens are?
Why are you talking about this kind of stuff?
Aliens?
Journalistic responsibility is usually holding the truth back. I'm trying to bring it back out to people and let them see these things.
There you go.
I think we got one vote on your side, Clyde.
What are you talking about?
Well, you do. A lot of people are on my side, I think.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Just when you thought it was safe to get drunk, then say hi to your friends.
Drunken Dialing. Drunken Dialing.
Just when you thought it was safe to make that late night booty call.
Drunken Dialing.
Drunken Dialing.
There's a kangaroo kickboxing in my
body.
Oh, www.drunkendialing.com.
Good night. Say good night. Say good night, Tommy.
It's been confirmed that the aliens have landed.
It's been confirmed.
That was sudden.
That was pretty good, man.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. I wasn't ready, man.
No, not me either. I was, like, typing and stuff. And
but you came on. Wow.
I'm like, 2-1, we're back. We don't normally say that, but we were not ready.
That was slick.
That worked. Slick. So, anyway, I am Doug.
I'm Scott L.
Our guest is...
Diane.
And, of course, Will's in studio chatting and doing all the stuff that he does. Right, we were looking at the photo.
Yeah, we're looking at this photo. That's what we're talking about.
Interesting parts. It.
There's interesting things, and we blew it up even bigger here. You, like I said, you can click on this thing a couple of times. Okay, here's how you can tell if you can click on it more is if you mouse over it and you see a hand still on there with the finger going, the index finger up, you know, like the little hand thing. Yeah.
We haven't changed it yet to the
horns.
Yeah, but it's just the index finger.
But if,
yeah.
But if you keep seeing that, keep clicking. It'll keep getting bigger and bigger to the point where it's like just it takes up your whole screen.
Yeah, and
that's what we want.
So you can zoom in. You can look at the detail within this photo.
Yeah, yeah, and there's a lot of detail. The one thing I was talking about, we started to talk about before we went to break, was some people with Sylvia Brown of all people.
She's just one of them, a lot of others.
They mentioned this unfinished business thing, but you were talking about, you know, people come back to places that they're familiar with. Now, yeah, if you blow your porch light, you're gone, you pass away, you expire, whatever you want to call it. You don't know, I can imagine, this is just theoretical, obviously. You wake up or you kind of come into this whole new method of existence where you're like, okay, what's going on? Okay, I'm trying to talk to this person, they can't hear me or whatever. I mean, we've seen it all in the movies and stuff like that, but... Yeah, well, of course, the first place you're going to probably go to is home. I know that's where I would probably go, because that's the place I feel the safest at, the most comfortable at. So I guess I would go back home and kind of just, okay, you know, what do I do now? And just kind of walk around and do whatnot. I really don't know, because I've never been dead before, and I don't plan on being dead for a long time. But you talked about people go back to these familiar places, and that's very feasible to me, personally. That's what I would see somebody doing from past experience, too.
Well, and also comfortable. Because, this is all parapsychological studies and things, right?
Yeah.
People and animals and objects even have their own energy field, mm-hmm. according to parapsychology. Mm-hmm. And nowadays it's called the aura, but it was different back then. Mm-hmm. Way back in the day, they would call it the fluid. Mm-hmm. It was described as a fluid because they actually took, you know, they did photography. This was back when people actually researched parapsychology, you know, and it's kind of sad that they don't
as much anymore
nowadays. Yeah. But they would try to define what this fluid is. And the reason it's a fluid that they think is that's back in the old spiritualism days and stuff like that and before. Because that was actually proposed, I think, by Mesmer and his cohorts and stuff like that. This fluid would it had properties, and they couldn't describe it as an energy because it had energy. It had properties of energy, but it wasn't just energy. It also acted like a fluid. It also acted like a wave. You know, it acted like so many different things. They just settled on calling it a psychic fluid kind of thing. And but nowadays we call it the aura. Pretty much nowadays, I think we've pretty much settled on okay, it's some kind of energy. You can take a picture of it with Kirlian photography, and it's and we call it the aura. And so you've got this aura. It's your energy. It's there. It gets infused in the objects around you. Even if you just walk through a room.
Yeah.
A little bit of your energy is going to get, you know, it's going to polarize or something. The air molecules, the rug, the walls, the anything you are around is going to polarize with your energy. So you can become comfortable in a certain place because you've just infused it with so much of your energy that you are now, you know,
you're
is now
literally a part
an extension of
that.
You. Yeah, yeah. It's gotten very comfortable, and so and ghosts can. The theory, you know, is that ghosts are comfortable in certain places because
well,
of this kind of stuff.
We briefly discussed the issue with Pete. You know, Pete was hanging out with us last night when his father passed away. Geez, I was 15, and I was the guy who was elected to watch the house, you know, while they were at the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
I think I talked about this before, and
they found you sitting on the porch when they came home.
That's probably the only thing I can honestly say I've actually experienced. in my whole life that was like, okay, I can't explain this, and this is very scary, and to the point where I was out the door wall in 2 seconds when I heard somebody turn the sink on, and I didn't hear any answer back, and the cat come running out as fast as the cat could. Something was not right. And that is another example of his father passed away, and I think he came back to where he felt comfortable, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, because I got out of there pretty fast. I didn't want to sit around to really find out, because I was just a kid at that time, and I was scared of everything still. But that's another example, though, and I'm sure there's plenty of other examples out there of people doing the same thing. I'm sure we've heard stories, too, but memory
yeah.
is destroyed, nothing going on.
Diane, what does the photo mean to you? Because I think that's something that we don't get. When I run around taking, you know, my photos of cemeteries or haunted houses or haunted places, and I just take photos and I get these orbs, and sometimes I go, well, Will gets mists on my camera. I never get anything quite like that. But it has some meaning to me, you know, in that my quest is to get interesting photographs and prove that there's something beyond. But this is a very personal photo for you.
Yeah.
I mean, it was in a place that you knew.
My house.
And yeah, your house. It was in a.
Sure, you know that.
It was a place that you knew. It was taken by somebody you know who was doing the remodeling, and you saw it immediately after it was taken, and I mean, this has everything about it has meaning to you. So, what does it mean to you to see this photo?
Well, first of all, I did feel, and this is real personal too. When I went over the day of the death, the coroner was there, the medical examiner, the police, obviously. A lot of people were there. They had gotten a hold of me at my mother's where I was staying, and I had to come over and identify the body and everything. And I was sitting in the kitchen with the medical examiner, who had determined already that it was natural causes, but they still wanted to do an autopsy because he was only just turned 52 when he passed away. But anyway, when the guys, I don't know what their name they are, anyway, the paddy wagon, they come and they more or less carry him out. Okay?
Yeah.
I remember sitting in the kitchen seeing him actually carried out, and it was like I just knew that it was like a flash. The only way he was going to leave was to die. He just wasn't going to leave. I mean,
yeah.
he hadn't started packing. It was like 4 days before court. He just wasn't going to leave, you know. And when the picture was taken, I didn't really take it real seriously. I mean, I didn't, like, worry about it or anything like that. A lot of unusual things happened to me. I knew that he probably was upset that it got tore out, and I accepted it pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was thinking about it, and that's why I asked the question a couple weeks later for the sign, and then I knew he was still around. So
I think he made that blatantly obvious.
Yeah.
But he didn't, you didn't, I know you're going through some terrible times, but it doesn't sound like you hated him. It just wasn't, this was one of those kinds of things where it just didn't work out. You both knew it. There was some animosity, obviously, but not, because there always is in that kind of case. You're going through legal stuff. I mean, what can you do?
Yeah.
But it doesn't sound like it was, the like what you would see maybe on Ricky Lake or, well, you know, things like that.
A lot of people in my position might have resorted to hate. I tried not to because it's not good for you.
Right. It's very negative.
Very negative, and it was a very negative situation, and like I say, it was 3 days after he'd verbally threatened me on the voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
So I was extremely upset at the time anyway over the, the threatening me. And when the police called, I thought there'd been some kind of fight or anything. I wasn't too sure. But I did not let negativity take over. In fact, what I did, this is kind of ironic too, I hadn't mentioned it. When I went to the house and the police were there and they tore apart the house, they searched every inch. And I went in his wallet and there was no money whatsoever. But there was three paychecks. and they were all signed, the back of them, and they totaled almost $2,000. And I knew that he wanted a proper funeral. I knew where he wanted it, and I knew exactly because his brother had died earlier, a few years earlier, and he more or less told me what he would have wanted, although he didn't get it. And so I decided, especially when I saw the money, that I would give him exactly what he wanted, which I did.
Mm-hmm.
I gave him the funeral and got a hold of his relatives and a lot of things like that. But it was unusual for him to have 3 signed paychecks in his wallet, because he knew, as his wife, I could just sign him and, of course,
right, money. Right. That's really strange. Like, do you think he knew? Did he?
I don't know. And another interesting thing,
or was
the door was open, and he was found by a lady friend that actually he'd met over the internet,
mm-hmm.
and it was her first time coming to see him, and she told the police that she'd used Street Finder, I believe, to find the house, and the door was open, and she's the one that found him. Can you imagine the shock that she...
Yeah, oh, no, that's really, really scary.
Yes.
I mean, for that lady.
Yes.
And,
well, I don't know what her position was, but they probably grilled on her pretty good, too. A situation like that. I mean, it's questionable
so.
On the internet
by the
already.
Time I got there, that part was all over. She was gone.
Okay.
More or less, they'd searched the whole house. I heard the comment made when I did get there. The wife's here! You know, like they were waiting for me to get there because for legal reasons.
Attack!
<yeah.
laughs>
Well, and I was the owner of the house.
Fill out these 8 million forms.
It
sounds like a series of coincidences.
It could be, however you want to look at it.
No, I mean, it's like a divine, like, I don't think I've ever had 3 paychecks signed in my wallet, you know.
No, I haven't
waiting
either.
To be cashed. I just,
and no money in his
wallet. Yeah, and no money. I mean, it just wouldn't, it doesn't happen to me. It doesn't mean that other people don't, but it's that I don't do that kind of thing. So
and
that sounds
some
like
other
a
strange things that happened. He was on probation, and he only had, when I left, he'd only had like 2 months left of probation, and he would have been off probation. When I left, it was like everything stopped. He quit probation. He quit. The lawn had never been mowed. There was weeds 4 feet high. The dog wasn't taken care of. The beloved dog hadn't been groomed, had fleas, hadn't been picking up. There was dog feces in the basement. I mean, it was a huge mess.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it was like he'd just given up.
Stopped living.
Absolutely. It was really... He hadn't continued anything. He did continue working, though, because it was paychecks.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Do you think the photo and the sign that you asked for and got, do you think that those were messages? Do you think they're messages from him?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I do.
Are they of comfort, or are they disconcerting, or something else?
Well, I think they might have been disconcerting at the time.
Well, at the time, yeah. I mean, all that stuff was going on. But, I mean, when you think back on it, is it like... I don't know what
it
I would think.
It wasn't comforting. I wouldn't say it was comforting.
Not comforting.
No, it's just was a sign, pretty much,
mm-hmm.
that I knew, being a troubled spirit, that he was more or less staying around.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, which I haven't discussed, when at my church during a meditation, I felt him resurrect and go leave the earth.
Sorry about that,
sir.
And I have never heard or seen anything since. So,
you said you felt him resurrect.
Yes,
felt
I felt him leave earth.
Wow.
Well,
see, I've never I've never heard that before.
Well,
like in that context, I guess.
I think part of it was forgiveness. Like I said, I did not resort to the hatred or animosity and accepted his mental illness or his whatever you want to call it as part of him. Forgave him for that and chose to recognize the goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And there's goodness in everybody.
Oh, definitely.
And let it go at that. And I prayed on it, let's say. And during the prayer, and the visualization of him being able to escape what he was going through.
So you're very fortunate because I've studied tons and tons and tons on parapsychology, on religion, on just everything, right, to try and come up with some kind of view that makes sense. And yet, I still have yet to make sense of everything. But I do all this studying, and one of the things that I've learned is pretty much you took yourself out of a position where he had any kind of control of you,
correct,
right?
Correct.
And that's what you had done, and then you started the legal stuff, mm-hmm, and everything like that for the legal stuff.
Exactly.
But at the same time, on a spiritual level or on a more, you know, higher self kind of plane, you knew that he was just had to go through his own trials and tribulations.
Yes.
And once you removed yourself from that, you knew that his trials and tribulations were his own, and he's going to have to just get through them. And you didn't bear any grudges or that kind of thing. It didn't seem like you did.
I would temporarily, but I'd get over it.
Well, yeah. I mean, anybody does when you think about all the, because you've got the real matters, the three-dimensional matters.
Like
of
paying lawyers.
Legal. Yeah. You've got your legal stuff. You've got the threats. You've got all
I
that
just
kind of thing.
I had to change lawyers and had to pay two lawyers. Yeah. Oh.
So, I mean, there's all that kind of stuff that goes on, but that's all real matters. Mm-hmm. That's all, you know, this playing field. But you seem to either intuitively or just knew that all of his stuff was going to be his, and he's just going to have to deal with it. And it wasn't yours anymore.
I just accepted whatever the outcome was going to be,
mm-hmm,
is what I more or less accepted.
And that takes a lot of time.
It took a lot of energy on my part because it was my house. All my stuff that I owned was there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I had to leave because he became abusive, and I couldn't go back.
Mm-hmm.
All I had was my cats and some clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very hard for me to not go back and with my stuff. You know, we have all our stuff in your house.
Right.
That's, you just mentioned that.
And you like your stuff. I mean,
yes,
you would want
to.
I love
I
my
was
stuff.
Separated from my stuff.
Yeah.
I get
which
weird
I did not
when I,
like.
Yeah. That would kill me right there.
Mm-hmm.
Alone. I mean, that'd be tough enough. That would just, because I know how I am with my stuff, and you guys know how I am with my
and
stuff.
And then there was the fact aggressive. That he gave me no money. I had to pay all the bills, and he was the one living there. And he, on top of it, he had people move in.
Oh wow! Oh my gosh! And so therefore, your stuff was left unprotected with all these people you didn't know. Yeah. Well, that was all very, that's all very real stuff that you go through when you go through that kind of a situation.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I thought, you go to the lawyer and you go to court and they make it all right. Well, it doesn't exactly work that way. You have to wait. You know?
It all involves a lot of waiting. Eventually,
the fact that we were married, I couldn't just say you got to leave. He had marital rights or whatever you want to call them.
Uh-huh.
It was not an option.
See, that's all the stuff. I mean, I don't know about it yet. I shouldn't even say I don't know about it yet, because I don't want to have to deal with it probably, but that alone right there is enough stress on a person. If you have to leave your stuff, that right there, that would just, you know, you guys know me, like I said, I mean, I'm just, things I own, there's a story behind everything I own, so it's like, I have to just leave now and leave you with a person, a bitter person who's angry at me, who can take anything in this home and use it against me. You know, oh, well, I'm just going to break this and make them mad. I've seen it happen to other people before.
Oh, it happened.
And that's enough stress right there to put me through the wall.
I was allowed to go to the house twice. Per my lawyer, the police had to be with me.
Yes.
And I had a police escort twice and took some stuff.
Yeah.
But it's not like being there all the time guarding your stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Exactly.
But I still think I think you just instinctively ran across a lot that took me
a lot of things,
study
yeah.
to learn, is that, you know, his own trials and tribulations, he's going to have to go through them.
Absolutely.
You just said, I don't own these anymore. Not your stuff. I'm talking about his problems. You said,
well,
for a while, I imagine.
I never did own them. I just... there just wasn't going to be
part of them
part
anymore.
Of it. Yeah.
and I don't blame you, but that's a lot of things a lot of people don't do. A lot of people, when they, you know, I mean, and you see them on Jerry Springer all the time, is they just tend to throw down with whoever, and then all of their, it all just becomes one big mixture of not only legal and ownership issues, but also then it becomes a mixture of spiritual issues where, for some reason, everybody seems to get codependent on everybody else. And that's not how it is in the spiritual world, as far as I can tell, based on all my study. I'm not dependent upon Scott's spiritual development, or Will's, or my mom's, or my nieces, or Kelly the psychics, or yours. I'm not dependent
right.
on anybody
be,
else.
You can only be dependent on your own spiritual path.
Exactly.
And it's up to you as a person to find your own path and to find your own people to help you on your path, be that a religion or people or whatever is going to help you create your own spiritual path or universe, however you want to look at it. I believe we all create our own universe through our own mind.
What's really interesting is I was just reading something in a book by one of my absolute famous people in the world, is Edgar Cayce.
Yes.
But he didn't write his own books, but he, you know, it was a book about mm-hmm. him. One of the things that he says, one of the things that has a lot of meaning, is that people create the reality of the universe, which means through your mind. I mean, because you didn't actually make an atom and then put it together and then that forms a table. But you know,
actually energy.
Yeah,
our bodies are
exactly
energy with all the atoms, and there's an energy in all of us, and that's how the aura comes about,
mm-hmm.
and that's how we. When we enter a room, our energy enters with us,
mm-hmm.
and we have a vibration level, and you know, and we can bring up the energy by taking our own energy up, and by helping other people, really, is by raising our own vibration level, so that when they see us, they can hopefully raise theirs too. You can't
exactly.
raise the vibration level on another person.
Right.
It's possible.
And just like you can't make somebody stop drinking or doing drugs or stuff like that. They have to want to do it themselves.
They have to want to raise their own vibration level and want to do it themselves.
Right. Because and you can't own their spiritual goof.
Mm-mm.
You can't own their spiritual blunders. You can't even own. You can be excited and happy about their spiritual awakenings and spiritual happiness, but you cannot own it. It's not yours to have. And you ran across this.
We all live our own lives. That's
yeah, and you ran across this, and I think that's just amazing, because evidently he had a life, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had a life that ended too soon, we think, because 52
mm-hmm.
is just not, you know, I mean, nowadays it's not normal, and he didn't seem to be like it didn't look like. He was still getting out. He wasn't taking care of the house, but he was still getting out. And doing his work, you know, at work, but a lot of people come through that. A lot of people would come through the divorce and things like that. Everybody would come, or most people come through that, and then at some point decide, hey, you know what? Now I'm living in, you know, I've got the dog has fleas and goes to the bathroom wherever it wants, and I haven't done dishes in 10 years, and you know. But eventually, you decide, okay, I'm going to clean up my act and get on with my life, you know. But evidently, his path didn't include that end. So
no,
I just wonder if it's a big karma thing going on.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I mean, I don't particularly believe that if you cut somebody off on the road, that then suddenly your wife is going to move out and divorce you, take care of things. You know, so I don't think that it's like karma, like you did one little tiny bad thing. I think this is much more spiritual.
Well, actually, what karma means is unlearned lessons.
Unlearned lessons, yeah.
That's what it is, what it really means. And we all have our lessons to learn. Some of us take more than one life or however long it's going to take.
I think he probably is going to be reborn into another. Although that's not, you know, a Christian belief. They think that you just go on to heaven or whatever. But the according to Edgar Cayce, you get reborn to do your to learn your lessons.
Or other people I've read say you might go to maybe a more barbaric planet possibly,
mm-hmm.
or you might
mm-hmm.
come back. To learn these particular things you want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Or need to learn.
Or need, yes. want or need. It sounds like his soul, to me, based on what you've said, was probably not a very old soul yet. It probably hasn't been through a lot yet, because to learn such basic lessons.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in your case, what I keep getting is everything that I've heard from you, even so far in this half hour, is remarkably wisdom. I mean, just a lot of wisdom. It like would take a long time to see those connections.
Well, I am probably older than you. But
well, I think you're probably older than me, you know, physically, but I think you're probably older than a lot of us, even spiritually.
Oh, I don't
if
know.
You believe in reincarnation, I don't know. But I think I do, actually. Oh, okay. But I really do think that you're probably an old soul, because you got it. You understood it. And whether you knew it when you were sitting there in church in a meditation session or not.
Yeah, I didn't.
It happened. I mean, you had a spiritual event happen to you.
Actually, and I've had a lot of them, but that's mm-hmm. probably another show.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm really, really impressed. I really think that you didn't you learned.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is it time for a break?
Well, we can take a break. Yeah.
Okay.
Or do you guys want to keep going?
Let's do a break.
Take a break. All right.
Okay.
Because that was a heavy half hour. I learned a lot.
Well, yeah, they say a picture is worth 1,000 words.
Yeah. I'm going on word 587.
Yeah. We're not there yet, but we're going to get there, I'm pretty sure.
Let's take a break, and we'll be back and with this fascinating discussion about the photo. If you want to call in, 888-520-1969.
Talk Radio, hosted by certified paranormal investigators Rob and Bob. Sunday nights at midnight, only on Pirate Radio. For show information, visit us at wparanormal.com.
MrOlaf.com. See what you've been missing out on. Funny videos that will make you poop your pants laughing. Services such as web and pop 3 email, image editing, and logo design at very low rates. Funny videos that will make you poop your pants laughing. Free streaming and downloadable videos. MrOlaf.com. That's www.MROLAF.com. Funny videos that will make you poop your pants laughing.